Hey there, you're listening to What the Riff? Join us as we remember the great rock and roll hits from a month between 1965 and 1995. We're going to riff on all things about the bands, the members, and the goings-on during that time. We hope to inspire you to find and download the songs you hear today, whether you're fans who forgot about some of these tracks or maybe never even heard them before. Check out our blog at whattheriff.com or follow us on Facebook at What the Riff. Here's a shout out to our sponsors, Right Column Financial, offering CFO and bookkeeping services for small business, Stanton Electric, a commercial electrical specialist, and Marbury Creative Group, a brand development agency that helps companies tell it better. So let's turn up the volume and enjoy this episode of What the Riff?
The ship Edmund Fitzgerald with a crew of 29 is lost in a storm on Lake Superior. Kilauea volcano erupts in Hawaii, and Juan Carlos I proclaims King of Spain as the monarchy is restored after 31 years. This is November 1975. You're listening to What the Riff. I'm Wayne.
I'm Rob.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Bruce.
And Brian brings this classic song, and we're all friends here.
Who does not recognize that iconic voice?
Oh, yeah.
Does anybody not recognize it?
I would say that you could easily make the case that Freddie Mercury has the best voice in rock music.
I will not disagree. The only one that I would challenge you with is Steve Perry, but I would still put Freddie Mercury above him. That's hard for me to do. You know that.
Yep.
I love the iconic beginning of this.
Yeah.
That's just a cool sound.
Yeah.
And this is from the classic album, A Night at the Opera.
Ah.
It's named after the famous Marx Brothers movie, A Night at the Opera. When they were starting in the production, they were just starting to, you know, toss ideas around. They actually were watching the movie, and somebody said, hey, why don't we call it A Night at the Opera? Which resulted in a deep friendship with Groucho Marx.
Really?
Really?
It certainly did.
How about that?
Isn't it amazing? So they were good friends with him, and they actually, he invited them in before he died in 1977, he invited them to his house 5 weeks before he passed away.
Wow.
No kidding. Those Marx the Marx Brothers movies are worth seeing.
Oh, yeah.
They are a hoot.
They are indeed.
Even though they're in black and white.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
This is probably one of my favorite Queen songs.
Yeah. This is one of the first songs written by the bassist John Denner. And he wrote it, John Deacon, excuse me, and he wrote it about his wife. Isn't that nice? So you can hear the harmonies from Queen are unmatched, in my opinion.
Truly operatic.
Oh, yeah. And so you've got, of course, Freddie Mercury on lead vocals, John Deacon in the background, Brian May, and those guys are just tearing that up. And so, like I said, this is the second release. A single release off the album.
But what a positive song.
It is. Yeah. It's a great song.
It's one of those that's great to put with a video if you're honoring somebody. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you put this song on there.
Absolutely.
It's like, yeah, it's awesome.
Now, I know we're going to refer to the movie Bohemian Rhapsody because it has been released at the time of this recording. You know, it's been out there for a while. But you remember, this is the first song that they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. The producer or the owner of EMI. But instead they went Bohemian Rhapsody. So anyway, this is a song called 39. Listen to the kind of the futuristic kind of sci-fi type things. This is Brian May's song. And according to Wikipedia, the source of all knowledge and truth, this is May's attempt to do a little sci-fi skiffle. Whatever that means.
Skiffle is a style of music, I think.
I think so.
Yeah, it was sort of pre-rock. All those early groups, The Who, The Beatles,
yes,
they were all skiffle bands in the 50s.
Yeah.
And then they heard the rock and roll from Little Richard and Chuck Berry, and boom.
And you'll notice that it is not Freddie Mercury singing.
Yeah, that's what I was
here.
Just thinking.
This is Brian May. And so he's singing this song. Essentially, according to, like I said, Wikipedia, it relates to the tale of a group of space explorers who embark on what is, from their perspective, a year-long voyage. But, of course, if you incorporate Einstein's relativity and all that stuff, they come back, and it's all their loved ones are dead. And so what was a short trip to them was over 100 years here on Earth. So
it's funny. It has a Western feel to it, which is... it's like pioneering Western, and then you're pioneering in space, and they're connecting it to Western.
I don't know if this is just the song or what, but I, you know, to me, this is a song I know from Queen. It's sort of like, I know this, but I don't think this was released as a single.
No, it's on the B-side. It was a B-side.
Oh, was it?
Yep. So it still got airplay, though, if you think about it. It was, I believe it was the 39 was on the B-side to Bohemian Rhapsody. Mm-hmm. And then Best Friend, I believe, had the B-side of Light My Car or Drive My Car, whatever
it is.
I Love My Car.
Yeah, and that's another one not sung by Freddie Mercury.
Right.
And that's a cult classic. That's, if you're a really, really big Queen fan, that's one of your favorite songs because it is, you know, a guy's just talking about how he loves the heck out of a car. And we're not even playing that one. That's, once again, this is a very deep album.
Mm-hmm. Well, Roger Taylor, like you said, he's the drummer. And so Roger Taylor does a lot of the background vocals. He's one of probably the high, he has the highest
octave range. Is he the high note?
Yeah.
I noticed in that movie Bohemian Rhapsody that there was one that they made do the high note over and over and over again.
Yep.
I guess that the actor was playing the drummer.
Well, that was from the song Bohemian Rhapsody. Remember
that?
Yep.
Yeah.
He goes, Galileo. Higher.
Galileo. Higher.
Yeah, Galileo. So he goes, higher. He goes, if I do that, I think I'm going to lose my, whatever he said. It was very, I won't repeat it on a family show.
This reminds me of ELO's Wild West Hero.
Yeah.
A little
yes.
bit, if
a little
you
bit.
Hear that background.
Now, ironically, even though Brian May sings it on the studio version, in concert, Freddie Mercury did the lead.
Really?
And this still goes on. So it's just a pretty, just a different little song. I mean, they mix so many types of styles into this album.
Very different. I'm not even familiar with this song. I may have heard it, but enjoying it now.
Yeah, and you know, this song in the UK obviously went to the top of the charts, but in the US, it didn't go to the top of the charts, but it went, I think, to number 7. So it,
wow.
Yeah, but this is their.
You're talking about the album or
the album?
That,
not oh,
that
song.
Song.
Oh, no. Now, this song, of course, is written by Freddie Mercury, and this is the one that he wrote for his dear, at one time, his fiancée.
Oh, yeah.
They never married.
That's right.
But Mary, if you remember, in the movie she's portrayed, you know, as his love, of course, and until he died.
It's a harp.
Yeah, that's Brian May. That's Brian May playing the harp.
Oh, I thought it was Harpo Marx.
Oh, well, there you go.
But he played the horn, believe it or not, the bicycle horn.
No, he did in the movies. If you go,
oh
watch
yeah, that's
it,
true. He did play harp.
Now, of course, that's Freddie
Harpo,
Mercury.
Harpo, come on.
That's Freddie Mercury, of course, playing the piano. And so this was. This song is probably the most covered song by Queen. And so there's been various, you know, acts like Extreme, Scorpions, Ellen Page, or Elaine Page. So this has been a very popular song. Now, if you recall in the movie, and I know, like we said, we're going to refer to the movie a little bit. They sang this in South America to over 500,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and he stopped singing, which was from that point on in concerts. He'd just play the opening line, and Freddie would just play the piano and just let the crowd sing. I got chills. Sing back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, Brian May will do the same thing on his guitar. He'll just go to the front of the stage, and he'll play the opening chords, and he may start even say, Love of My Life, and then the crowd will sing it back to him, and he just let him.
Wow.
Yeah. So I didn't get a chance to go to Queen the last time they were here with Adam Lambert,
mm-hmm.
but that is now on my bucket list. Because our friend Joe Davis, shout out to you, said that was an incredible show. And it said they've still got a lot of energy. It's only Roger Taylor and Brian May from the original four. But then, of course, with Adam Lambert being in, you know, featuring Adam Lambert, he's not a part of Queen. But
I saw the tour that had, what was it? Guy from
Bad Company.
Yeah. So I saw it that one. And, you know, and they do a lot of highlights, obviously, of Freddie Mercury and everything. So,
well, during that tour that you're talking about, they had a video. You know, Brian May would be playing it with the spotlight on with the guitar, but show Freddie Mercury. And
yeah,
then, of course,
exactly.
It was a tribute to Freddie Mercury. So,
you listen to this music, though, and it is, it's not rock music. It's mm-hmm. not the standard, you know, three or four chords. This is... It's symphonic. Yeah. It's classic. It's there's a lot of very serious music. Yeah.
Well, this song, or this album, I should say, used extensive multi-tracking, which was relatively new that day. Mm-hmm. And so, and it was past its due date. It was very, it was the most expensive album ever produced up to that point. But so they got fussed at, of course, and the movie portrays it pretty well. He goes,
right,
you know, the guy says, this is my, you know, I own this album. This, and so Mike Myers, as we all know from Saturday Night Live,
yeah.
plays
the
role.
He did a good job.
He really did. But yeah, this is one of my favorites, of course, and crowd favorites as well. And of course, as we conclude Love of My Life, we're going to hit the big time now. This is the first album or first song that they released. And this, of course, is Kick It In, Boys. Is this the real life? Is there a more dynamic song than this one? Tell me if there is. I'd like to know what it is.
This is such a cult classic. But I always think of Wayne and Garth.
I have to admit I do, too.
Yep, same here.
Well, I mean, it's ironic you say that, because guess what happened? The record companies, after Wayne's World was released, and when they played this in the opening, one of the opening scenes, they re-released the single.
Oh, sure.
And it went on the charts.
It went on the charts,
didn't it? Absolutely did. And I love the way Mike Myers says, I think we'll start the evening with a little Bohemian Rhapsody, gentlemen.
Isn't it ironic that he then covered it again on the other side of the ideology?
Yeah.
In the
we can't
Bohemian...
do Bohemian Rhapsody.
Exactly.
Yep, absolutely. Obviously, if you remember it from the movie, we're going to refer back to it. The record company did not want to release it.
Mm-hmm.
They said, we will not release it. Nobody will play it because nothing was ever played above 3 minutes.
Too long.
Exactly. So what did Freddie Mercury do? Well, he goes on this show, and the guy, you know, he plays it 14 times.
Back to back to back.
He goes, and I just kept, he goes, this is the most incredible thing I've ever heard. It goes underground, and immediately the record company at that point said, I think we got to play it now.
We got a
because,
hit.
Yeah. So they were determined that they were gonna, this was going to be their premiere
this
song.
This is the epic.
And it is. And look at the longevity. I mean, it's still played today.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd say grade schoolers know this song.
Yeah.
I mean, this
absolutely.
Is this
and
probably
it's,
one of the most iconic rock songs ever. You put this, this is the Freebird, the
it is.
Stairway
yep.
to Heaven,
yep.
you got Bohemian Rhapsody. You only have so many songs up there.
The top 500 rock songs, do you know where this one falls in? Where would you guess?
That's top five,
oh,
probably, I would think.
I'd say at least in the top 20.
I'd put it in the top 10.
I would have thought so, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's 128.
Really?
Wow. No.
Well, there are some awesome songs out there.
I know, but I'm like you guys. Your initial response is mm-hmm. what I thought. At least top 20.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nope, 128.
Wow.
Yeah, that's somebody's opinion.
I've got to say, probably once a week, the phrase, very, very frightening me, is going to come out of my mouth.
Well,
yeah, that was a post on What the Riff's Facebook page Wayne did.
There was a thunderbolt airplane mm-hmm. and then the lightning, P-51 lightning, and they're back-to-back, and I just posted that. And
underneath it says, very, very frightening.
And then the number of people talking about it. We'll repost that.
But the band referred to this song, which I thought was very funny. They called it Fred's Thing because it was such a huge project just around this song. Now,
oh, sure.
Now we're getting to the operatic part. Scaramouche is a clown from the Commedia dell'arte.
Thank you. I was wondering.
We know who Galileo is, of course. Galileo is the principal character in Bomarcus is the Barber of Seville. I know you knew that one like I did. Wrong.
I thought it was Galileo the astronomer.
No. Of course, the Beelzebub is, of course, referencing Satan in the Bible. But it also is in the Arabic, it's the Lord of the... It's Arabic. Bismillah is also in Arabic. And Bismillah is the phrase in the Quran, meaning in the name of God, most gracious, most merciful.
Hmm. So they actually are saying real words.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's why if you're in the movie, goes, what? All these things that Mike Myers' character saying, all that, say, what is that? But all of them have a meaning, so that's the good thing.
I just thought I was mishearing things.
Head bob.
Oh, that's
yeah.
right.
Who are you thinking of?
Wayne's it's World. Wayne's World.
I love the character. Let me go. No. Let me go. No. I mean, that's such a...
What's funny is we've been doing this for over three years now, and one of the earliest Queen... Mm-hmm. Our earliest Queen albums are the Queen album that we did was one of the earliest episodes.
Right,
so,
right. And we
so
did Innuendo.
It took us three more years to get back to Queen.
Right.
So, yeah, if you want to hear that one, we've really delved into
I
Queen
think that might have
bit.
Been the second one.
Episode number two, and this is episode number 172. So
yeah. Think about this too, guys. This song, remember we took, the first time it was played was 14 times on that radio mm-hmm. station. It remained at number one in the UK for 9 weeks.
Wow. It does have many parts, doesn't it?
It does. It's just this is Fred's thing.
If you haven't seen the movie Bohemian Rhapsody, go out and check it out. It's fun. And I'm going to get this album and play it front to back. I think that's one I've missed.
Yes.
Oh, there's several Queen albums. I mean, my first Queen album was News of the World. And, I mean, that's one with, you know, We Will Rock You and We Are the Champions. Mm-hmm.
But one of the songs that we did not cover, guys, it's the first song that's on the album. Death on Two Legs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's the opening
that's
song.
That's a great song.
It
oh,
is a great
goodness.
Song. I wanted to play it, but it gets a little, it's not a nice song at all. So.
But it's a great song. I love it.
We're going to move along to our entertainment track brought to us by Right Column Financial.
We got Stardust. It's a musical drama back in November 1975, released in the United States. It had starring David Essex, if you guys remember him, and he's the one singing this song, and he's the one that did the song Rock On. So
yep.
If you can listen to him, you can hear that.
Yep.
I thought it was funny that some of the other actors, one was Larry Hagman in this movie.
Oh.
Another was Keith Moon.
Oh. Could you imagine trying to direct him?
Yeah, I bet that was a little challenging.
But this movie just chronicles the rise and fall of an international rock star. So, and there, I looked at the whole soundtrack, and literally it is chock full of great songs. I just wanted to just do the top song. And this was a quasi-hit when it came out. So the song itself, but the movie was all right. I don't remember seeing it, but I just, you know. But the big movie that came out in November 1975, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Great movie.
That, I think it cleaned the clock of all of it, you know.
I was not that familiar with Jack Nicholson, but after that, I remember saying to myself as a young kid, saying, that guy's really good. And he played it, you know, it wasn't a silly role. It was a very dramatic role in a very dire situation. I'm sorry, go ahead, but that's a great movie.
No, it had Danny DeVito in there, and really, the way the acting and, I guess, I don't know, makeup, or he was just younger, it doesn't look like Danny DeVito.
No.
And it was like, and it was, it helped bring about some reform in mental institutions.
Yeah.
And so that was good. Bad is because they decided the reform was completely close them, and now we got homeless people that are crazy on our streets. So and we need to find an in-between way or something.
Yeah. I don't remember this song, but it sounds, it's got a little bit of a Pink Floyd feel to me somehow.
Yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Another movie that came out, Crazy Mama with Cloris Leachman. And I don't remember it at all, but Cloris Leachman, she didn't really pertain to be a crazy mama to me. I mean, she was more like the grandma type in there. But Bill Paxton and Dennis Quaid, that's their film debut. Hmm. So they both came in at that time, which is kind of surprising because you kind of almost sometimes mix those guys a little bit. Next movie that came out was The Sunshine Boys.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, we're going to move on now to our staff picks. Bruce, what you got, Bruce?
Guys, let's gather around the campfire. I have a tale for you.
Another Western feel.
It does have a Western feel.
I'm loving this, man. I like this type of music.
I'm not recognizing it yet.
It's time for us to tell a little ghost story.
Oh.
Let me get the let the vocals come in, and I'll fill you in.
Days grow short, the nights are gone.
So this is I Cheat the Hangman by the Doobie Brothers.
The Doobie Brothers?
It doesn't sound like the Doobie Brothers, does it?
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Not yet. It doesn't.
So guitarist Patrick Simmons wrote and sang lead on this one. And it was the third single from Stampede. So it's the tale of a guy who has cheated death and was in. It was inspired by a short story by Ambrose Bierce called An Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge. And it was a. It was written in 1890. It was about a guy during the Civil War who was captured under some unusual circumstances, and he's the Union's going to hang him. And this is a little bit. It's based kind of based on this, but it's really a kind of a spooky. The book is a stream of consciousness thing, so it's kind of an early stream of consciousness thing. But the whole song is it's a ghost story.
Yeah.
Simmons says it's about a ghost returning to his home after the Civil War and not realizing he's dead.
Oh, there was a movie with that theme in it. I think it was called The Others or something like that.
Yeah.
And this family lived in a house after the Civil War, mm-hmm. and they thought that the people moving into the house were ghosts.
Right.
But the people that the story was about were the ghosts, and they didn't know that. Anyway, it was
interesting.
Yeah, I bet it was based on that book.
Yeah. Well, this has been, I have always liked this song. It's not very Doobie Brothers-ish. It's got a little bit more psychedelic, mysterious kind of feel.
I saw that Rock Me in Your Arms, I think, is the one that's the big hit that was from the Take Me in Your Arms is the one that most people would recognize from this album, I think.
Right. And this album, this is kind of the turning point, right? So Stampede was the last album before Tom Johnson left. He had some medical issues. He wasn't able to continue with the band. But and then Michael McDonald would take over in the next album. The next album was Taking It to the Streets.
So anywhere in here they go, Hangman is coming down from the gallows and I don't have very long. wrong song.
I'll tell you what it did inspire me to do. I'm going to have to get out the that Ambrose Bierce. There's a collection of short stories that he did. He was actually a Civil War veteran, and he wrote a lot of these little short stories and things like this. And I'm just kind of curious, yeah. You know, because I think a lot of these the artists that make these songs are much better read than I am. You know, they know a lot of these old novels and short stories and things like that.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, you get inspiration from all kinds of places, and that's sure. a natural way to be inspired by something. You read a book, and you're like, that would make a cool story in a song, a short story in a song.
Right.
This is really a peaceful melody, and the harmonies
I love
beautiful.
It.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
The end of this, we're going to do the shorter version, but the end of this kind of explodes out into this symphonic, little bit dissonant, but a really very different kind of sound that gives you that, again, continues that ghost feel.
That's cool. I wasn't familiar with this one. I'm glad you brought it, Bruce. All right, so coming up here, guys.
Uh-oh.
Yep, I did it.
Uh-oh.
I know. This is a rock and roll podcast.
No, I like these guys. I do. They were like the number one export from Sweden. For
forwards
long time.
Or backwards.
Yeah.
This is ABBA SOS. It's a palindrome.
Well played.
Yes. This is from their self-titled 1975 album, ABBA. You guys know where they got their name?
Isn't it the initials yeah. of the members?
It's the first initials of their names. Agnetha Falskog, Bjorn Ulvaeus, Benny Andersson, and Anna Fried Lyngstad. I knew I was going to say one of them wrong.
That's easy for you to say.
Yeah. What harmonies. I mean, that's pretty crazy.
Yep.
This part right here is what makes me think of 1975. I remember hearing this part on the radio.
I mean, for 4 or 5 years, I mean, ABBA was just putting out hit after hit. Fernando, Waterloo. It was like one after another.
Oh, they could do no wrong.
Six Flags had another hall where they would show things, and I remember them doing an ABBA thing.
Tribute or something.
And playing this song.
Well, didn't they have a movie that came out after,
Mamma Mia.
On one of their tours? Well, that was...
No, not Mamma Mia. It was Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia was the play.
That was a Broadway play, but I'm just saying before, they had live concert video that they made a movie from, I thought.
The two couples were married. So Agnetha and Bjorn were married, and Benny and Annie Fried were married. And they were actually on vacation the first time they sang. They were in Cyprus on vacation together, and Wikipedia said they started singing on the beach, and it ended up as an improvised live performance in front of the United Nations soldiers that were stationed on the island of Cyprus.
Wow.
And they like, we should... They all had backgrounds in music, and they were really good musicians on their own, and they kind of helped each other out, and then they came together as the whole band.
That I will say this, that Mamma Mia, we saw that, I think Sandy and I saw that probably 20 years ago. It's well put together. If you haven't seen the play, it's worth going to.
Those are the two guys that wrote it, right?
I like the way that they sound. They had a lot of hits. This was really a pretty big kind of turning point that got them going again. Yeah. They had kind of slowed down a little bit, and then this hit kind of revived them.
The disco hit, and then
they won the Eurovision Song Contest.
Oh,
I think that's where Waterloo got them started off.
This made it to number 15 in the U.S., and BMI said it was one of the most played songs on American radio in 1975. So hope you enjoyed it. It was worthy.
Oh, great greatest hits album if you want to go do that.
Now we're moving on to Wayne.
I'm going to kind of follow a theme that Bruce started. This song popped up while I was looking to buy some songs on iTunes about 10 years ago, and it really, really floored me. But I can't place the type of music. It's not really Southern rock, though it kind of has that kind of flair. It's more like a soul rock. The song is, there's a blue mist in the air, and there's a feeling in my heart I can't share. There's a teardrop running down my cheek. I can't even speak when I think of you. It's just basically a breakup song.
Mm-hmm.
His girlfriend leaves him, and he doesn't know how to handle it. I'm going to ask if you guys ever been through a breakup like that. It's just, you know, you tried to hide these tires and everything, and suddenly just this blue mist or whatever. I don't know what you want to call it. I mean, it's a good thought. Is blue mist, which is the name of the song, just comes over you. I mean, it happened to me back in 1988. I was in a funk for 2 months. I was young and stupid, and I was too late to kind of moving forward with a relationship, and it kind of bit me in the butt because the girl wanted to move forward, and I didn't, and I was in my 20s. And sure enough, she leaves and goes marry somebody else, and I'm just like, holy crap, I just screwed up a good thing here, you know. And it took me a while to kind of get over it. But
yeah, it takes us guys a little while to figure that out.
Yeah, exactly. We're dumb and stupid. And,
you talked about what this made you think of, or it makes me think of Chicago. I could hear a little. I could hear
25 or 64.
Yes.
It's that bass, the chromatic bass line.
Yeah, yeah. I like it. I don't remember it.
I'm not familiar with this group either.
The group's called Mama's Pride.
Uh-huh.
Where are they from? They are from St. Louis, and they are big in St. Louis. I mean, if you talk to somebody in St. Louis, they go, oh, yeah, Mama's Pride. I mean,
really?
This song is like one of the top songs played just over and over again. It's just one of those things. It's just you get these local groups.
Yeah.
And it popped up. They toured as a warm-up group, basically, in the late 70s. You know, they toured with Lynyrd Skynyrd, the Allman Brothers, Charlie Daniels Band, the Outlaws, Todd Rundgren, Alice Cooper, REO, and Heart.
Wow, everybody liked them.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of hear some harmonies like I did with the Doobie Brothers.
Yeah, that's what I was... They sound like the Doobie Brothers. Yeah, Little River Band. Yeah. Has that... Is it big music? I don't know how you kind of do that. They disbanded in 1982, but they've been doing reunion concerts in St. Louis, and they sell out every time. And they've been doing it since 2003. So, I mean, they had another song. I started digging deep. I go, man, listen to this guitar. They're just going to town.
The other song, While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Yeah.
It's
yes.
Got the same little.
Feel how this just picks up. It's just getting, it's getting more and more intense.
It's kind of that Chicago and St. Louis kind of had those blues going.
Yeah, exactly.
In middle America there.
Well, there's a song called She's a Stranger to Me Now, and it's about a divorce. And it's about this woman that was his wife, but now she's a stranger to me now. Mm-hmm. Really, really good song. That's another one. Who knows? I may bring it back up. But
yeah.
If you have a chance, go get that out. That song, too. Download it. Download their albums. Really, it is like this. It's a real fun song. But you could tell how this one just blasts.
Nice.
And you can just feel that soul. That, like you said, it is the blues. It's a blue miss. Mama's Pride.
Yeah. That's great, cool. Wayne. Thank you. Now we're getting back to the man who started it all. Brian?
Yes.
I think I know who this is. Why don't you?
Oh, yeah. You know, as Song Facts would say, guys, the Jacksons blamed it on the Boogie. Well, here, blame it on the Nights on Broadway.
Listen to the voice.
Exactly. It's the Bee Gees, otherwise known as the Brothers Gibb. This was written, of course, by Barry, Maurice, and Robin Gibb. Produced by Arif Martin, who did a lot of their production.
So this would have been before the breakout Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, yeah, well before. That was a couple of years later. It was like 3 years later.
Do you remember the song called Jive Talkin'? That was their first release off this album. This song was the follow-up, though.
I love the early Bee Gees. This is a great song.
Yep.
I mean, Jive Talkin's great. Their stuff in the 60s is fun.
Yeah. This is mixing some more of the blues with a little tinge of a disco there. But this is before, as you said, this is before they went full tilt with Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, this is not the wop bop, you know, wop bop, wop bop, wop bop. There's some real drum work here. It's not the machine that's just going on.
It's got some of the falsetto in there, but it's not 100% falsetto like their Saturday Night Live work would be.
Saturday Night Fever. I do the same thing.
Yeah. Saturday Night Live, Saturday Night Fever, different thing.
But it's funny you mentioned about the falsetto,
mm-hmm.
because during the production of this song, and we're going to hear it later on when he goes, blame it on, he gets up in those...
How is that again, Brian?
I'm not even going to try. But we're going to hear him do it. This is the first time. Arif Martin actually was recording, when they were recording this, he asked the guys, he said, can anybody scream? You hear that? There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So Arif Martin then says to the brothers, he says, does anybody scream? And Barry says, on occasion. So he says, well, try it. Try to hit a higher octave. So he's screaming in a high octave in a falsetto, and that's what you're hearing. This is the first time they've ever recorded the falsetto. And to Bruce's point, Saturday Night Fever is filled with falsetto.
Mm-hmm. Listen to that change there.
Yeah. That's not easy to do.
No.
Yeah, the tempo goes down, and it's like now. A nice bridge to the...
I am definitely a closet Bee Gees fan. I mean, it's just... I'm telling you. Hey, I love this.
I kind of agree. I got to have the windows up sometimes. Especially when you hit that disco era. But this right here, I would.
Well, not me. I'm never going to admit that.
Well, I mean, if you had to pick a favorite Bee Gees song just off the cuff, which one would you do?
I don't, to be honest with you.
I think this is probably one of the
This
top
is
ones
mine,
too.
Along with How Do You Mend a Broken Man?
Broken Heart, yeah.
I mean, it's Broken Man's also in there, but those two to me are just so soulful. It goes back. Well, it's just a great production, just a
Now, was there a meaning on the Knights of the Broadway on this?
It's a vague reference to being on Broadway and trying to find love.
Oh, okay.
And it's already
yeah, it might be on the wrong street in 1975. Well, yeah. Depends on what kind of love you're looking
for.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go there, Bruce, but it sounds like you had some experience with that.
Oh.
He's turning awful red now.
Let's stop spreading the news, Wayne.
But there is no special person that this is ever written about, so it's just... You hear the falsetto.
It's just, I mean, it's a good... This song's a good bridge from their classics... kind of rock pop stuff to the disco era.
Yeah, you're right. You know? Perfect example.
But it's such a tremendous song.
Oh, yeah.
And I can see why they were asked to do Saturday Night Fever.
So now we're moving along to something kind of similar vein as we're talking about the beginning of disco. This is our instrumental track. And this is...
We're doing what?
What are we doing?
Isn't this what Emperor Palpatine said to...
Do it.
To Anakin?
Anakin?
Do it.
So what would Van McCoy call this song?
He would call it... Just... That's what Nike should do. They should put just in front of it.
They probably can't afford
just
the song.
Do it.
And here we go.
All right.
But yeah, this was the beginning of disco. Before is more R&B and everything else. But you can hear the drum machine going. You can hear the hi-hat just being hit. Whatever. Or if it's a hi-hat, I don't know.
The line dancing.
The favorite of line dancers everywhere.
Yes.
Like November 75, that's when it started getting very, very popular of disco.
Do any of the four of us know how to do the hustle?
Oh,
I don't.
Hell no.
I don't.
I sat there and watched people with my arms crossed looking like, no way in hell I'm doing that.
Wayne's over by the punch bowl pouring some golden grain in it, in his drink.
Taking a sip as I pour.
Yeah, I'll show them.
Needless to say, I didn't get very lucky during those times. So guys out there, if you want to, if you're younger, you may have to do the hustle.
Yes.
All right, top hits of November 1975. Island Girl, Elton John.
Yes, I like that song.
Once again, height of his powers. Lion Eyes by the Eagles. This is kind of their country.
That's a great song.
Who
great
Loves
harmonies.
Ya, the Four Seasons. Mm. Miracles, Jefferson Starship. This is after they changed from
Mickey
Jefferson
Thomas.
Airplane. Yep. Heat Wave, Linda Ronstadt.
Mm.
And we're going to have to do a staff album pick on this guy. I say it every time, but that's the way, I like it.
I'll take that mantle.
Casey and the Sunshine Band.
I'll do that.
You're going to
do
that?
All right. I'm going to do it.
All right, Brian.
In a couple weeks, we'll be doing Casey and the Sunshine Band.
I vow that to you all right now.
Is it on the database?
No. Pick an album. Pick whatever. But I got to say, that is a fun band.
We're going to have fun with it. I had the album a long time ago. I don't know. I'm sure it got... melted whenever I was moving in one part, but I will definitely do that.
Excellent. So you got that looking forward. I guess that's a front sell on this. You know. So, all right, music of November 75, the first performance by the band, the Sex Pistols, happens in St. Martin's College in London. Punk,
a very different
England.
Vibe.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Definitely not the Ramones. Some albums that came out. I'm just gonna kind of go down a list. We're getting close to the end here. The Band, which was, the group that kind of backed up Bob Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
Dolly Parton had one. Chris Squire, who would eventually, be part
Yes.
of this.
Yes.
Yep. Neil Young and Crazy Horse at Zuma. Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's another group I know we've kind of pointed out. The Kinks.
Mm.
Cat Stevens. The OJs, that was I think we did a couple of features off that. Joni Mitchell, Hot Chocolate. I think I did one a long time ago. Pure Prairie League, I did one of those a while back. Little Feet. Now, that's another group that if you like Southern Rock, man. Robert Palmer, Sweet, and Dionne Warwick. But those are some of the albums that came out in November 1975. You've been listening to What the Riff. I'm Wayne.
I'm Rob.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Bruce.
See you guys next time. Just do the hustle.
Thanks for listening to What the Riff? We hope you enjoyed the songs we had on tap today. Please tell your friends about us. Check us out at whattheriff.com and follow us on Facebook. Special thanks to our sponsors, Wright Collin Financial, Stanton Electric, and Marbury Creative Group. That's all for this week. See you next week on What the Riff?